Turn the mic on. Thank you for your hospitality and your kindness that's been shown to me. I've had a wonderful day today fellowshipping with Brother Gerald and Ms. Donna. They're two of my closest friends, and I appreciate them very much and their prayers and their love that they've shown towards me. Exodus chapter 3 tonight. I'm aware tonight is the night that we spring forth, that we run our clocks ahead. If you go ahead and run them ahead now, you'll think I've been long-winded. Amen. So I'm not going to preach real long tonight, the Lord willing. My wife used to say, don't say that. But the Lord willing. Exodus chapter 3. If you'd stand with me, please. Reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he said, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Our Father, we bow tonight to thank you for the reading of the Word of God and ask you to add your blessing to the reading of it and for your power. Pray that you are moved by the Holy Spirit of God in our midst tonight. Speak to our hearts. May you have your divine way. Pray for every person here tonight. You know exactly what each one of us need in our heart. Pray that you might do that work which is pleasing to thyself. And we'll certainly thank you and praise you for all you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I looked at this, I want to preach a few minutes on the God that Moses met at the burning bush. Moses' life is divided into three periods of 40 years each. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was learning how to be somebody. He was well educated in the University of the Egyptians, well schooled. He was learning how to be what he ought to be in the coming years in his growing up. The second 40 years, he was learning how to be a nobody. The third 40 years, he learned that God was everybody. Amen. If you'll notice here, Moses, this chapter is dealing with Moses when he lived on the backside of the desert. I'm glad, thank God, sometime God has to put us on the backside of the desert to teach us some things. You see, Moses has failed as deliverer of God's people because he tried to do God's work without God. And I'm afraid tonight that a lot of things going on in our Christendom that's trying to do the work of God without God. And they'll fail just like Moses fell on the backside of the desert when he was trying to do God's work without God. I pray that you and I will never do that. I pray we'll be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and our lives. I pray that we'll seek his face and mind him and be obedient to him and do exactly what he says for us to do and not try to do the work of God without God. I'm afraid somehow we have programmed God out of our churches.
That's right.
Now, I'm for good programs, but we ought not depend on the programs. We ought to depend on God.
Amen.
Now, I believe we ought to study, I believe we ought to read, I believe we ought to do all those things. But there's a medium here that we need to understand that God is still God and he can do all things.
Amen.
I'm glad he's not limited. Now, you and I are limited. We can only do so much. But God is unlimited. He can do all things. I'm glad God is capable of doing everything that we need, aren't you?
Amen.
So we see here that Moses had failed to be the deliverer of God's people because he tried to do it without God. Now we come to the close of the most important, single most important event in Moses' life, when he was introduced to God. His first meeting with God. Do you remember when you first met him? Can you remember when he first introduced himself to you? Can you remember when the Holy Ghost of God brought you to that point in your life where God was introduced to you as the Savior of the whole mankind? I'm glad I know him, aren't you? His first meeting with God. Can you imagine Moses, the man of God, was being introduced to God himself by God? And by the way, if you ever get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost of God will present Jesus to you, and Jesus will present God to you, and the Godhead will redeem you by His amazing, grace.
Amen. That's right.
I'm glad I know Him.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad April 27, 1968, God introduced Himself to me by the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful to know Him?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be saved tonight by the grace of Almighty God? I rejoice in the fact that he came to where I was at and done a work in my heart and brought me to Him. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes we get to thinking about what God has done in our lives. We can't help but to just turn it loose and let it run. Amen. We have too much restraint on ourselves. Well, let God do what He wants to do in us. Amen. We'll shout it out sometime. But God not only revealed Himself to Moses, God taught him about his character and revealed some things to him. And he taught Moses he could rely on God. You know, the greatest thing you and I can learn as a born-again child of God is that we can rely on God. We can depend on Him. We don't have to work it out. He's already worked it in. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give you three things tonight, and then we'll go to the house. At the burning bush, Moses learned that God was an abiding God. I'm glad He abides, aren't you?
Amen.
Now, if you'll notice, the fire burning in the bush represents God abiding in the midst of His people. I'm glad He lives within, aren't you?
Amen.
It's a revelation. You know what God said to Moses? Put off thy shoes. I was preaching up in Duncansville, Pennsylvania at a camp meeting two or three years ago. Brother Jim Savalas, he's a missionary to the, I don't know where he's at, but where he's at, they go to the pulpit with the shoes off. They do not desecrate the pulpit, the platform, with the shoes on. It's unlawful for them to climb up in the pulpit without a shoe. But that day at the camp meeting, he had slipped his shoes off in the pew. And the preacher called on him to preach, and he got up in his stocking feet, and I was so moved, because I was thinking about that verse, put off thy shoes, now you're standing on holy ground.
Amen, that's right.
And Brother Jim walked up in that platform, buddy, and I'm telling you, God anointed him to preach that day. He got through preaching. I was so moved when I said to him after church, I said, when I found out that the country where he was a missionary to, they did not go to the pulpit with the shoes on. And I thought he'd done it on purpose in reverence to his calling to the country. And I said to him, Brother Jim, I was so moved. He said, oh, Brother Paulie, I just forgot my shoes. I said, well, you let me down. I thought you was going to tell me, yeah, that divine call to that country where you're a missionary at, you wouldn't dare walk up in that platform with your shoes on, and you was honoring that by doing this. And he laughed at me. But he said, pull off thy shoes from there where you're standing is on holy ground. I think sometimes you and I fail to recognize that God has some holy places on this country, in this country, and in the house of God. This is a holy place here. I mean, this is where we come to meet with God. That's exactly what Moses did. His first meeting with God. God said he's an abiding God. Aren't you glad tonight he lives within?
Amen.
Notice with me just for a moment. We see a revelation. God revealed himself to Moses. I'm glad he does. Amen. I was preaching up in Nottingham, Pennsylvania. Brother Gerald's been there. And I was preaching that day with Brother Joe Cooper. And there was a man that came to the house of God that week, had blonde hair down to his shoulders. I preached on long hair. You say you ought not do that. Why? No need to preach on long hair tonight. Ain't nobody got long hair except females. And they supposed to have, amen. But I preached that night on long hair. That Sunday morning I preached on long hair. How it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And that guy, he said to me after church, "Well, you've got on my hair, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Bible said it's a shame for you to have long hair. You ought to cut it where we can see your ears." And he said, "Well, if my wife would come back to me, I'll do all that." And so that night he came back to church again. I preached again on long hair. Amen. You said I wouldn't do that. I know it. That's why God called me. And I preached on him. He came to me again after church and he said, "I'll get right with God. I'll get saved if my wife will come back to me." I said, "Well, where's your wife at?" He said, "She's sitting over there in the church." So I thought after he left, I'd speak to his wife as she was going out the door. And I said to her, "Your husband said he'd get saved if you'd come back to him." She said, "Well, I'm never coming back to him." I said, "What?" She said, "I'm never coming back to him. Said he's been down in the streets and the gutters and been with prostitutes and everything, and I'm just not going to come back to him." So that next night he came forward again. He said, "My wife, if you come back to me, I'll get saved." I said to him, "You won't ever get saved then, because she said she's not ever coming back to you." I said, "She told me what you've been doing in your life. You don't need to get saved because your wife won't come back to you. You need to get saved because you're lost and on your way to hell."
Right.
I said, "That's not a reason to get saved, to get your wife to come back to you. The reason to get saved is to keep from going to hell."
Amen. That's right.
But he never did. On Friday night when he went out that door, he said to me, "I'll never get saved then if my wife don't come back to me." I told him, I said, "Well, you better get your summer suit on, the fan in your hand. You're headed for a warm climate and not the state of Florida." Amen. I said, "You're going to die and go to hell." But about 6 months later, wasn't Brother Joe then, somebody else had taken the church. And about 6 months, maybe a year later, I called that preacher up there and found out. I said, "That old long-haired, blonde-headed man, did he ever get saved?" He started laughing. He said, "No, but he still comes every service." Said he comes, he's regular as clockwork. Said, "But he just won't get saved because his wife won't come back to him." I said, "Yeah, that's what he told me." About 8 months later, I called up there and that preacher said, "You won't believe what happened." I said, "What happened?" I had an inkling to say I know, but I didn't. I said, "What happened?" He said, "That old blonde-headed boy got saved, got his hair cut. He said he's going to live for God, whether his wife ever come back to him or not. He's got everything right with the Lord."
Amen.
2 years later, I heard she'd gone back to him after everything had cleaned up. Isn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, he's an abiding God. He lives within. There's a revelation here. Notice God revealed himself to Moses. If God revealed himself to Moses, God reveals himself to every man. What does Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 say? "For the grace of God that said, that notice that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men."
Yes,
I'm glad God's an abiding God, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad he lives within. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight for his goodness. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that man is without excuse. He must be born again. In my first pastorate in Gray, Georgia, Jones County, Georgia, had a man to come and by the name of Danny Barlow. Danny and Penny had gotten married and they came to church. Danny got saved. I mean, Denny was a rough little old fella, but he got born again. Penny got saved. They was expecting a baby, and the little baby lived a few hours and died. And when that happened, Danny said to me, "Where was God at?" I said, "The same place he was at when Jesus died." Amen?
Amen.
But he said to me, "Will you preach my baby's funeral?" I said, "Yes." And I preached the baby's funeral. And then Danny said that day, when his daddy was at the funeral of the baby, he said, "There's my daddy. He's the meanest man in Jones County. He goes and whips people everywhere he goes." He said, "I wish you'd pray for him." I said, "All right." And I prayed right then with him. And then later on that next service, I said to Danny, I said, "Where does your daddy live?" He said, you don't want to go down there where my daddy's at. He'll throw you out of the house." I said, "Well, I've been thrown out before." He said, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm not going to tell you where he lives." Says, he's the meanest man in the county. He'll whip you, Brother Pollard, if you go down there and talk to him about the Lord." I said, "Well, I've been whipped before." Amen. So he wouldn't tell me. So I found out where Pat Barlow lived. I walked down to the door of his house and knocked on the door, and he said, "Come in." I had a suit of clothes on out visiting. When he said, "Come in," I walked in, and he jumped up startled. He thought I was the FBI, GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigators. He jumped up horrified. And he said, "Oh, you're the preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I don't have nothing for you. Go ahead and go out the door and leave." So I said, "No, I want to talk to you about the Lord." He said, "I don't want you to talk to me about the Lord. I want you to leave my house." So I said, "Okay." So I left. I wanted to go back to his house sometimes, you know. I didn't want to be belligerent. So I left, and I told Danny, I said, "I went by and saw your daddy today." He said, "What did he say?" I said, "He told me to leave." He said, "I knew he would." He said, "If you hadn't left, he'd have thrown you out." So I knocked on his door about a week later, and he didn't say, "Come in." He got up and opened the door, and he said, "It's you." And he tried to push the door to, and I put my foot in the door, and I said, "I just want to talk to you a minute, Pat. I just want to talk to you. I want to get to know you." He said, "I don't want to know you. You're a Baptist preacher. I don't want to know you." He was horrified. I mean, he was ugly. And I said to him, you know you're going to die and go to hell, don't you, if you don't get saved?" He slammed that door then in my face and said, "Get out of here and leave me alone." After several weeks and months, I've been going by to see him. I knocked on the door one day, and his wife, Miss Mary, opened the door. And she invited me to come in. Pat's sitting over there in his recliner chair, and I'm sitting over here witnessing to Pat. Miss Mary was sitting in a chair over on the other side of the room. I'm talking to Pat about getting saved. And when I started to leave, Miss Mary was crying. She said, "What about me? Don't you care if I die and go to hell? I need to be saved." So I got down on my knees with Miss Mary and Pat standing right there, and he heard me lead Miss Mary to the Lord. She got saved, got to come into church. She's going to get baptized. So I went by Pat's house, and I said to him, "Won't you come see your wife get baptized?" He said, "I'm not coming up there. I don't care if she does get baptized or don't get baptized. I'm not coming." And I said, "That's an awful thing, Pat." I said, "Your wife going to get baptized. You won't even come to say, 'No, I'm not coming.'" I went by another time and saw him and reminded him again the day we was going to baptize Miss Mary. He said, "No, I'm not coming." But at the end of the service, I'm standing in the baptistry with Miss Mary. And the door, back door, or the front door, whatever that door is. I'm always confused whether that's the front door or the back door. But Pat came in the door and stood back there and watched me baptize his wife. Put her under. Buried her, raised her up in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And as soon as I lifted her up, he went out that door. So three days later, I went by to see him. I said, "What'd you think about the baptism?" He said, "Well, it's just putting her under the water." I said, "No, it meant more than that." I said, "It meant that she was dead, made in the newness of life, raised in Christ Jesus, raised a new person in the Lord. She'll be different from now on. He said she's already been different. He said, I've been watching her like a hawk. Said she'd been very different. You know what happened? By her testimony and by her living for the Lord in front of him, one Sunday night, Pat walked in the back door of the church. I just got up to preach. Pat sat down on the back row and nobody knew he was there. I didn't embarrass him. I didn't recognize him. I knew if I recognized him, he'd get up and leave. I didn't embarrass him, but I just preached to him. He slipped in there several times, several services. Nobody knew it. When the invitation started, he would leave out. But one Sunday night, I got through preaching. He didn't walk out the door. He walked down that aisle.
Amen.
And got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God took up his abode. That moment that Pat said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. You know every born-again child of God in this building tonight, he abides in us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, thank God he abides. Amen.
Amen.
Notice the response, not only the revelation, but notice the response. Moses turned aside to see. Aren't you glad God, he helps us when we turn aside to see? Every man must either turn to God or turn from God.
Yes, sir.
Every person must receive or reject.
Amen.
And by you not receiving, you have rejected. You don't have to say words to reject. Just don't turn to him means you've turned from him. So if you look at it with me, if you will, can you remember tonight? Can you really remember when you turned to God?
Amen.
How can you get over it? How can God move in and you not know it?
Yes, sir.
How can God live on the inside and you not know it? I'm glad I know him, aren't you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
How many of you are glad you're saved tonight?
Praise
Amen. Isn't it wonderful tonight to respond to the dictates of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts? Notice something else. Notice the revelation here and the relationship. The God of glory was burning on the inside. Isn't that amazing how he burned in the bush? When I think about that burning bush experience, God gets glory out of abiding in us. I don't comprehend that. I don't really know how God gets so much glory out of abiding in somebody like you and me. You and I, we have an old nature. You and I, we have a corrupt body. You and I, hey, we're destitute except him living on the inside of us. And how he gets glory out of it is when we live for him. When we die to self and let him have his divine way in our hearts. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't know about you.
Amen.
Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33 with me. Our perfection in Christ make this abiding possible. Notice what he said in verse 6. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwell in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides. Aren't you glad tonight? Thank God that he abides. He's an abiding God. Did you know when you receive him, he takes up residence forever inside you. He'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful tonight to know him?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful tonight to have that good, sweet peace and fellowship with him?
Amen.
Lord, I'm so thankful that I know him.
Amen.
I might not know a lot of things, but I know him.
Amen.
I can take you to the place where I was introduced to him. I can go within inches where I bowed before him and he done something on the inside of me that nobody else ever could do. I remember after I got saved and God was dealing with me about preaching. There were seven of us in the church that God was dealing with at the same time about preaching. And I remember we had that detention home service. Boys' detention home and girls' detention home. We had a service out there every week. So the man was in charge of the extensive service said to me one day, "Mr. Pollard, how about going out speaking and preaching at the detention home?" He didn't know at one time I'd been a resident out there. He didn't know that, and I didn't want to tell him. So I said, okay. Service was at 7 o'clock that night, that Tuesday night. So I went out there a little early because I knew if Mr. C.J. was out there, he would recognize me. And I wanted to tell him I'd gotten saved. I didn't want him to. And I knocked on the door, and Mr. C.J. opened that door, and he said, "What you here for?" And I said, "I'm with Grace Baptist Church. We come out here to have a service." He said, "You're a little early, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come on in, sit down." He didn't recognize me then. He said, "Sit down." I was glad he didn't know who I was. And every once in a while, he's sitting over there at his desk, and he'd look up at me. And I'd move my head where he couldn't see me good. He'd look up at me. He finally said, "Boy, don't I know you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What did I know you from?" I said, "From out here." He said, "You're Donnie Pollard, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he started laughing. He said, "What you doing out here?" I said, I'm supposed to preach tonight." And he started laughing. He said, I could never believe you're going to preach out here tonight. He said, I recall when you came out here. Said, I had to whip you all over that building. Said, I let you out in the yard the next day after I got through with you. You tried to climb the fence to get out, and I had to beat you off of the fence. He said, and I remember you so well. I said, "Yeah, I do too." I said, "I remember you very well too, because you whip hard. But I'm glad, thank God tonight, that I'm saved by the grace of God Almighty." Y'all listening to me tonight? Notice, he said here, "Moses turned aside the sea, and notice our perfection in Christ. The goodwill of him that abides in and dwells in the bush." He abides, hallelujah, he abides. Amen. Aren't you glad he took up residence? Amen. Aren't you glad he's the one that said, "No, no, no, yes, yes, yes." I'm glad he guides us in our living. Amen. Notice the second thing. Not only is he abiding God, but he's an attentive God. He listens. Look in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 3. The Bible said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now, notice this verse, if you would. Notice what God says. God has not forgotten his people down in Egypt. Notice what he said in verse 7. He was aware of their problem and position. He said in verse 7, "I have seen." I'm glad God's an all-seeing God, aren't you? He knows where you're at tonight. He knows where I'm at tonight. He knows our problems tonight. He knows our position tonight. He sees everything. He said, I'm glad I have seen. I remind him every once in a while of my needs, don't you? Then look in verse 9, he said, "I have heard." I'm glad, thank God, he hears our cries, aren't you? When we are in pain, I'm glad he hears our cries out when we cry out unto him. Notice back in verse 7 again, he said, I know your sorrows. I'm glad he knows all about us. He knows when your heart's broken. He knows the pain you're going through. He said, "I know your sorrow." He knows, hey, I'm saying he knows everything about us. Aren't you glad, thank God, he's God? Then look down in verse 8 where he says, "I have come down to deliver." Thank God for victory. Thank God in those days that when the all-seeing God sees all of our sorrows, that he gives us victory in him. There's victory in Jesus. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are tempted." Aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you glad, thank God, tonight He knows all about us? He's an attentive God. Aren't you glad when you get down when nobody else understands anything? He does. Aren't you glad, thank God, tonight when nobody knows your sorrows, when you fall on your face before Him? He said, "I know. I've seen it. I know your feelings." And aren't you glad He's the only one that can help us? Thank God for good brothers and sisters who have come sometime and say things that are comforting to your heart, but unless He gives you victory, you'll not have victory. I'm glad God says in verse 8, notice what He said in verse 8, "I have come down to deliver them." Notice with me, if you would, He said, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a land, good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Aren't you glad? Thank God He said, "I know where you at." Notice something else with me. When we cry out in affliction, He goes into action.
Right.
I'm glad He hears every heart throb that we have. Some of you have had a lot of sorrow in life. And I'm glad God has helped you and given you victory in those hours. I know what I'm talking about. And then notice the last thing tonight. He's an all-sufficient God. Notice in verse 13 and verse 14. He said, "I am all that Moses needed." Verse 13, notice what He says. Notice, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them?" Here it is. Notice in verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." Do you notice all those are capitalized in the verse? Talking about Jehovah God. Jehovah God the Son. Jehovah God the Holy Ghost. "I am that I am." May I say to you tonight, He is the I am that I am. Do you know He's everything you and I need tonight?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we think we need a lot of things, but we need Him.
Yes, sir.
We need Him. Amen. Notice with me, notice what He says here. He says, God is an all-sufficient God. "I am that I am" meant at least three things to Moses. First of all, it meant that God is an unchanging God. Aren't you glad God can't change His mind? Aren't you glad God, when He lets you get saved by the grace of God, can't change His mind about that? I'm glad tonight that I'm saved forever.
Amen.
Amen. Eternally saved.
Amen.
Can't get out if I wanted to. Of course, I don't want to.
Amen.
I've never met anybody on the way back. Have you? I'm glad I know Him, and I'm glad He can't change His mind about when I looked up and He looked down and we got together at Calvary and He washed my sins away and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad He can't change His mind about that. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes I change my mind about people. I'm glad He can't do that about us.
Amen.
Amen. When He put our name in the blood of the Lamb of God in the roll book of heaven, He can't change His mind. As one old preacher said, He can't ever say oops when He saved us. I'm glad I'm in, aren't you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. When we stop to think about being in. I'm glad I'm not on the outside. I'm glad I'm on the inside. And I'm glad He's not on the outside. I'm glad He's on the inside. That's what our perfection is in Him on the inside of us. He's an all-sufficient God. He cannot change His mind. If you'd ask Him today, "What is your name?" He'd say, "I am that I am." Aren't you glad tonight that we have a God that's an unchanging God?
Amen.
Lord, if he could change his mind, think where we'd be tonight. If he could change his mind about everything in this universe, think what it'd be tonight. Not only God is an unchanging God, but God is an incomparable God. Who can he compare himself with? No one but himself. There's no comparison. I'm glad he's the creator. I heard a man say the other day he created something, and I said to the television that I was listening to, I said, he's telling a story. He ain't never created nothing. God's the creator. We only make from things that God's created. Nobody's ever created anything but God. If you made any, if you think you've created something, you took a substance that God has created to make it out of. Amen? But who can you compare him with? You can't compare him with nobody but himself. I'm glad he's an incomparable God, aren't you? Oh, when I think about him being incomparable, I'm so thankful tonight that there's nobody like him.
Amen.
He's the only, as old Wallace Little down in Albany, Georgia, used to preach. I know it's not a proper word, but he preached on, he's the onlyest one that ever was. There's not a word onlyest, but when I walked out of that building tonight, I said, boy, he sure is. He's the onlyest one I've ever met. He made me believe in that word onlyest. Onlyest one that ever was. I thought about nobody else had been like him. Not only is he an incomparable God, but God's an unfailing God. He cannot fail. Aren't you glad we serve a God that cannot fail? Amen? Y'all listening?
Amen.
Whatever we need, that is what he is. The I am that I am. I don't know anything he's ever failed. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Aren't you glad? Thank God he's that kind of God. Now, the things that Moses learned in this meeting changed his life forever. And when God comes to you that I am that I am, he'll make you different.
Yes, sir.
You'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Thank God Almighty.
Amen.
Thank God Almighty, I'll never be like I used to be. Moses learned that God will change his life forever. Aren't you glad you're not going to hell?
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight you're not in a bar room?
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight to be in the house of God on a Saturday night when we're going to run the clocks up and lose an hour of sleep?
Amen.
Aren't you glad, hallelujah, we're in the house of God worshiping him and serving him?
Amen.
That ought to make you want to shout a little bit. These truths sustained Moses during his whole life's ministry after that. Do you know something nice? You know what will sustain us? The truth. The truth. The living word of God. I told this one time here. There's an old Texan missionary who was going to preach on the streets down in Dallas, Texas. He's telling everybody in 15 minutes we're going to have a preaching service. Everybody just kept walking by. Just wouldn't stop. Took his Bible, went out there and laid it in the middle of the road and took his Stetson hat off and cowboy hat and laid it on top of the Bible and started hollering, "It's alive! It's alive!" Walked around hollering, "It's alive!" People got gathering up, stopping and watching the idiot. "It's alive!" New in a hat. Wasn't nothing on the hat, they thought. But somebody hollered, "What's alive?" And he ran over there and picked that hat up and put it on his head, picked up the Bible, said, "The living word of God, it's alive!" And started preaching to him.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, it's alive, aren't you? That truth sustained him during his ministry. I pray tonight that God would allow you and me to have an old-fashioned burning bush experience in our heart. I know we're saved by the grace of God, but wouldn't it be wonderful if God would do something that would change us entirely from what we are now to something better for Him.
Amen.
I'm not talking about to brag on me, but to brag on Him, to magnify Him. There are some things that we ought to learn at the burning bush about God Almighty that would help us live for Him. Let's stand, please, with our head bowed and eyes closed. God, help us tonight. God's Moses' first meeting with God. When last time you've been around an old-fashioned altar and just thank Him for introducing Himself to you? When last time you've been around just to say, Lord, I didn't come for anything tonight but to thank You for washing my sins away, giving me that sweet peace of God in my heart, taking my name out of hell and putting it in heaven. That's enough to make every person in this building tonight. If your name been removed from hell's roll to heaven's roll, you ought to come down here and thank God for what He's done in your heart and your life. You can't brag on Him enough. You can't rejoice on Him enough for what He's done in your heart. As I said last night, the bigness of salvation, we've gotten over it too much. The greatest thing that ever happened in somebody's life is when God introduced Himself to him and you received Him in your heart. That's the greatest thing that can happen to you on planet Earth.
Amen.
When the last time you've been around an old-fashioned altar and said, Lord, I just want to thank You for saving me. How many tonight in this building would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Would you hold up your hand? Would you? God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? As far as I could tell, everybody in this building. Well, when's the last time, not only have you raised your hand and testified that, when's the last time you've been down at the altar and just thank God for doing what He's done in your life? Think where you might be tonight had God not saved you. Some would be in jail probably. Some would be out on bail. And some would be in hell already. Might be a good night. Let's just thank Him for what He's done. Father, I pray You'll take the message now and speak to every heart. Lord, may we be responsive to the dictates of the Holy Spirit of God to our hearts and our lives. We'll certainly thank You and praise You for what You do now. In Jesus' name, amen. What